Having a period is just as normal as breathing. However, to girls and women who don't have access to safe and sanitary menstrual products, that time of the month is an absolute nightmare. And this ordeal is an ongoing issue that's happening all around the world. It's called period poverty, and it stops girls and women from managing their menstruation with dignity. Thankfully, there are people out there who are dedicated to supporting those in need. And one of them is Rochelle Courtney, the founder of Share the Dignity and today's podcast guest. Rochelle is sharing the sad reality around period poverty and highlighting ways you can get involved with the cause. Let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing ME podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a bubbly, driven, chocolate-obsessed, positive thinker and action taker who helps business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure to step up and show up in the scary online world. Because I know you have a message that needs to be heard, and I know you want to make a big impact on the world. By becoming more visible in the online space, you can attract and retain your ideal customers. I can help you do this by putting together effective and engaging marketing strategies and copywriting at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I am joined by my special guest, Rochelle Courtney from Share the Dignity. Welcome, Rochelle.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's so awesome. I connected with Rochelle via LinkedIn, and many of you are probably aware of the charity that she runs. And it's just, I reached out to her saying, would you like to be on my podcast? A bit of the fangirling moment. And she said yes. So we made it happen. Now, just for those that don't know what Rochelle's all about, I will read out the little bio. So, nicknamed the Pad Lady, Rochelle Courtney is a woman on a mission to end period poverty and break the silence and stigma that surrounds women and periods in Australia and globally. She's the founder and managing director of Share the Dignity, a charity she started single-handedly in 2015 when she discovered that women in Australia had no access to period products during their menstrual cycle. Share the Dignity started from a simple grassroots idea of wanting to improve the lives of disadvantaged women, and Rochelle forged ahead on the belief that one person could indeed make a difference. Along the way, her dedication inspired others to join in, and today she leads a team of over 5,500 volunteers determined to bring a ray of hope and light into the lives of homeless women and those fleeing from abuse and domestic violence. Share the Dignity has donated over 2.8 million period products, over $37 million worth, amazing, through multiple initiatives across Australia. Rochelle has also won recognition and accolades for her work, including Finalist Australian of the Year, Cosmopolitan Humanitarian of the Year, and Pride of Australia. So awesome. And I had to read out that whole bio, Rochelle, because I'm like, I can't just cut anything out of that. This is awesome. So I wanted to actually just start with, could you please share more about why you started Share the Dignity? What was the catalyst? I would love to hear the story.
Yeah, look, I started Share the Dignity in 2015 when I read an article that was written that talked about how many homeless women there were in Australia. And as we've said before, I could imagine them not having somewhere safe to call home, or how do they eat, or how do they shower and wash their clothes? But I couldn't imagine what I read next, and that they were using socks and newspaper and wadded up toilet paper to deal with their period. And a light bulb just came on and thought, how obnoxious of us to all to not even think that this was a problem. And because we were talking about periods and one of those shame things, no one was going to talk about it. But to be honest, it was not the first article to have ever been written. And I just don't know how you could read something like that and not unhear it in your own head. So I'm really grateful that that article was written, because it changed Australia and it changed, you know, for me, it was about making sure that there wasn't a woman in Australia who didn't know about the problem, because I believed we'd all make a difference by just donating a packet of pads or tampons.
So awesome. So what was the very first step you took? Because it takes a lot to set up a charity. So what was, you read the article and then what?
Well, back then I had my own personal training business, and I made my clients bring me one packet of pads or tampons for every wine they had that month. So I did all right from them, but I also made other people aware of it by asking our local counsellor and our local school to put a collection box in. I had my daughter, who was in grade 11 at that stage, do me up a little flyer. So it was about really conveying what the problem was, and then finding the solution. We ended up giving those products, 450 packets of pads and tampons, to five different charities in the local area in Sandgate in Brisbane, where I'm from. And then a couple of months later, I had a friend who worked in a domestic violence shelter who rang and said, you know, can you get some more products? And I'm like, of course we can. It's not like we're giving a woman a warm jacket and it keeps her warm for years. This is a monthly problem. And, you know, 173,000 women turned to homelessness services last year. That doesn't include our drought-stricken farming communities, our remote Indigenous communities, and those that are living way below the poverty line, where choosing to buy sanitary items or choosing to buy food is a real thing for them.
Yeah, oh, that's absolutely amazing. I'm sure, yeah, because it's something everyone would want to help with. And like you said, it's not yet a jacket which could last a few years, right, a few seasons, that's fine. This is something every month. And, you know, depending on, I guess, you know, to go really personal, how heavy the flow is, you know, some women may need more. And it's just so good knowing that they would have that support and not have to choose between, yeah, pads or food, because no one wants to make that. Because, you know, obviously especially if they're from like a domestic abuse situation, they're already feeling pretty low. They're trying to build themselves up, look after their children or whatever. They don't want to have this other thing to think about and feel icky and another thing to have lack of confidence in self. So just knowing that's sorted must have been amazing for them.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it is not the solution to homelessness. It is not the solution to ending domestic violence. It's not any solution on poverty. It is one very, very small part of the big problem that exists in the world. But we do know exactly what we need to do at Share the Dignity. And I think that is the very key point to, I would say, all in business. And, you know, Share the Dignity is a business. We're just in the business of making a difference. We're in the business of ensuring that women and girls are afforded the dignity in life that we all take for granted. Because in our cupboard, we have everything that we need, right? And if we don't, then we can pop down to the shop and get them. Maybe some weeks we can't afford some things, but we know that the next week we can. For some people, that is, it's just not like that.
Yeah, so true. And then I guess the added pressure if they do have teenage daughters or tweens and suddenly, you know, you've got to deal with them as well. It's just too much to handle. And it's so great that you're helping out with this charity. It's amazing. And so what was, I guess, one of the biggest challenges that you faced when starting up the charity, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, look, never in a million years did I think that wanting to collect sanitary items to give to women and girls in need would need me to have a board of directors, a constitution, license and permits in every state. It was quite enormous, to be honest. And we would never be where we are without social media. So, you know, what would you have ever done 10 years ago for put a ad on the front page of a paper and said, can people donate? It just never would have happened. So it really was social media and the belief that if my intent was always right from the beginning, that speak to the women who are in Australia. So then I went to the businesses that were already speaking to the women that I needed to talk to. So I went to Fernwood, I went to all of the brands in Tamo, I went to Mecca, I went to all of the brands that were already speaking to the women that I needed to get to so that they could donate pads and tampons. And that is still our mission. I know that there's still people in Australia who don't know about Share the Dignity, but you can't unhear it. It's a problem that exists no girl should ever miss out on a day of school because her family can't afford sanitary items. And you know what? As a mum, that kills me. I will give you half a dozen, 20 packets if I make sure, if that's one thing that I can do to make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah. So was the process fairly easy or was there some bumpy bumps along the way? I guess all that, when you're talking about the constitutions and all that, that would be a lot of paperwork. Like,
Ultimately, I didn't do it all. So yeah. You know, I heard you say in my bio, which I wanted to interject and say, I didn't single-handedly do anything. What I did was delegate, delegate, delegate. And if anyone came anywhere near me, I gave them a job. So it was really easy to garnish people to want to help you. And at the beginning of this, I still had my personal training business full-time for 3 years, the first 3 years of the charity. So, we didn't have any paid staff or anything like that. So it was the biggest juggle of time that was the most valuable thing that I had. But also, I didn't have the skill set to do all of the things that needed to be done. I knew what my skill was, and it was to passionately lead people and get people to do things for me that I didn't have the skill set to do. So So it was really, if anyone wrote into the page and said, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened, how can I help? Okay, let's have a conversation. I would just talk to them, find out what their skills are and give them a job.
Nice. So there wasn't like a real, I now need to find this type of role. You really just created roles around people and where their interests were and their skills were.
Yeah. Sometimes, well, not on the board. On the board, we needed to have an accountant, a lawyer, a marketing person. Do you know what I mean? We needed a specific skill set. And that was, that very first board was like the learning board. It was like having a newborn. So none of us really had been on a board before, which is kind of probably good. So we did what we could and we took the charity to a certain part. Then there was a second board, which some of the people, and because our constitution says that our board directors should be on for about 2 years, it's been really good. So we're actually on to our third board, which is really strategically placed for growth, for sustainability of the charity and real growth. So corporate connections, how do we make sure that we're going to be around through COVID and beyond to be able to make a difference?
Yeah, so actually on that note of COVID, how did that make an impact on Share the Dignity?
Yeah, it really, we're all just coming out of the COVID hangover, I think it's called, where I think it had such a big impact and there were so many tears amongst us. In March, the collection drive, so we collect twice a year in March and in August, where collection boxes go out through all of the Woolworths around Australia, plus another 1,000 collection points, whether they're a local MP's office or a beauty salon. People passionately want to help. All collection boxes and the collection drive got stood down in March, so we didn't collect what was needed. And in August, the same thing happened again in, big, big cities. So last year, we probably collected a quarter of what we would have normally collected, yet the need by people out there because they lost their job, poverty just rose and rose. And 3.2 million Australians lived below the poverty line before COVID. Now it's something like 5 million. So wow. You have to imagine that maybe there's 1 million of those that are menstruating women and girls. Now, normally we collect 200,000 packets of sanitary items each collection drive, and that's not just everyday women and men donating. That is our corporates chipping in, like Libra and You Buy Kotex and Cottons and other brands who are giving us product to be able to move around Australia. 200,000 at the top of our game is only still enough to help 50,000 women for 4 months. So even at the top of our game, we're only just skimming the top of what needs to happen. So kicking COVID, we also have a major fund, high tea, on what's known as World Menstrual Hygiene Day, where at least 5,000 women come together around Australia. In Sydney, there's 600, Brisbane 600, Melbourne 800, Perth 600. Those events didn't happen. So the $500,000 that we would have normally raised in that massive big event, the advocacy that happens, the voice that gets shared, didn't happen last year and cannot happen this year. So we're really excited to bring it back next year. But on the flip side, we have learnt to pivot. We have gone, right, well, how do we give people tools to make that dignity happen in their own neck of the woods? So how do you get together five friends or 10 friends and hold your own dignity at home? So that, you know, everything happens for a reason from that perspective. And, you know, from a personal perspective, the first 5 years of Share the Dignity was like running a 100-meter race for a marathon, is what I felt like. So it was a really great time to be grounded back at home and spend every night in my bed for, you know, it really was 350 days without going away. Because normally I would have been speaking wherever I could speak at corporate appointments and all of that sort of stuff. But it was just home. It was time to actually take all of the tasks that I did in Share the Dignity and start to give them to staff and make sure that they could wear those caps without me around.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's always a silver lining, isn't there? And probably also, like, you realize just how much emphasis you're putting on these particular events, and so you're like, all right, what else can we do? And so I've interviewed before Arani Duggan from Ronald McDonald House Charities about how they had the Dance for Sick Kids online fundraiser they started last year as a last minute, let's just do something because we can't do much else. Yeah. And that just, and now it's what they did so much better than they thought. And then this year they're running it again, well planned. And So it really just makes you go, all right, what are some other things we can do? And like the dignities, I used to do with the Girls Night In through the Cancer Council. I did that for a number of years, one after the other, and just everyone just pay what they would otherwise spend a night out. And everyone just loves those kind of Girls Night Ins. It's really nice. Now I want to ask you as well. So what's been it's probably hard to choose one thing, but the most rewarding aspect of it all? Do you have any particularly memorable stories to share?
Oh, there'd have to be a good half a dozen. So to be honest, if I had to, it's the people that I've met along the way would have to top anything else. And I'm talking about the women that we've helped, the volunteers. With 5,500 volunteers, we've got some absolute amazing humans that volunteer for us. The staff that I have, the board that we've had, the corporate people that I've met, the women who just support women and don't feel the need to get anything out of it. They just want to help, and I absolutely love that. So I think it would absolutely have to say, I would have to say people. But if you wanted to nudge up beside that, the removal of the tampon tax and playing a role in that was extreme. Was one of the most rewarding things to be part of.
So cool. Do you want to explain a little bit more what that involved?
Yeah. So we paid GST on sanitary items, the luxury of having our periods. So
ridiculous.
And over 20 years ago, there had been so many petitions. Like every single year, there would be petitions, and women would be outraged. That we were paying GST on sanitary items. And, I really just stood on the shoulders of the many women that came before me to try to remove it. I was at a politics at the pub when Malcolm Turnbull was there, and I simply introduced myself and said, are you aware that women are there are women in Australia and girls who don't have access to sanitary items, and that Share the Dignity is there to ensure that they do? But do you think it's fair that sanitary items have GST? And he said, the GST is a broad-based tax, and we won't be taking anything off the GST. We will be adding everything to GST. So that very night I went home and started a federal petition. So a federal petition was very different to the change.org petitions. The federal petition had to have 100,000 signatures in 30 days, which had not been done before. So we did it. We got 104,000 signatures in 30 days. So we're now Australia's most online signed petition. I don't know.
Amazing. So cool. Well done.
Now, but, and so I spoke to nearly every politician I could in 2018. It was a massive, massive year. And at the end of the day, the tampon tax was removed. And of the 1st of January 2019, we no longer paid tax on sanitary items, which is incredible, but it would never have happened if we didn't start to see some equal representation of women around that political arena as we did in 2019.
Awesome. So was it just yourself reaching out to politicians? You have a whole team kind of going after different like councils and yeah, you know, federal?
Australian women and men, the voice to have all the tools in their belt. So on our page, there was a copy-paste note that we asked us everyday Australians to send off to their local politician, to send it to Malcolm Turnbull. So their inboxes were flooded and everyone had to action, right? So it was really a collective way of doing it, but it really was bringing the Greens on board, then we brought Labor on board, and then Liberals came across the line at the end to make it bipartisan support. So it wasn't actually a political promise by any party. It was bipartisan support, which is actually the godsend that we were after.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well done. That's, no extra money or anything should be, it's already unaffordable for so many people, right? And adding that extra tax, it's just, so unnecessary.
In the first place, because they were classified as luxury, yet they were falling under the Therapeutics Goods Association Act, which is actually medical. So it was super contradictory, and they're really lucky that they took the tampon tax off. Otherwise, we were looking at a class action suit. So, you know, imagine all of these women in Australia putting their hand out for the GST on sanitary items that should not have been taxed in the first place.
There you go. Yeah. And so you were mentioning obviously all the like Libra and the Kotex and all those. How did you approach them initially, and how open were they to just giving away some of their products for this cause? Were they very open to it? You have to take some convincing meetings.
Yeah, look, it was always, to be really fair to all of those brands, they were already giving away the product to different charities. So if I give you an example of one brand would find it really hard to say no to, you know, an Indigenous community. So for us, it was really good for them. They could literally just give it to us, and then we would give it to the 3,000 charities that we were working with. So it kind of just streamlined everything a little bit better anyway. Share the Dignity from a commercial sense just made sense, right? We were probably one of the only brands that, as a charity, that you could actually make money from by supporting. So you go into a chemist, you're buying the product, you're putting it in their collection bin, they've won. They've drawn you in. You don't just go there to buy sanitary items. You go into Woolworths, you're not ever going to just pick up sanitary items. You're going to get bread and milk and all the other things that go with it. So commercially, it was an easy success as a charity.
Yeah, very cool. And so I want to just run through, there's so many different ways. You mentioned the, you know, Dignity, and I know of the bag, is in the bag, what do you call it, the Christmas drive. Just run through some of the different ways that people can get involved.
It's in the Bag is probably my favourite child. Yeah. So it's where we ask everyday Australians to put together a bag, make it a bag that you already own that's just slightly used that you would give to your best friend, or whether it's a new bag, fill it with life's necessities, shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, soap. Then you can put in anything else that you like. So things like a hairbrush, hair ties. I've owned 7,422 hair ties in my life and I still can't find one.
Or if you find matching ones for the kids, oh, my gosh, you can never find matching ones.
So, you know, like a chapstick or a piece of makeup or a perfume or whatever else that you want to put in your bag, you're really only limited by your bag size, your imagination and your budget. So we ask that people put those together the last 2 weeks of November and drop them into any Bunnings around Australia. And we then get them out with these incredible volunteers that we call Sheroes and Heroes, who check every single bag that they are worthy of going to a woman that we're trying to say, you're valuable and you're important and here's a gift of dignity for you. And we give them out to around 3,000 charities around Australia.
So awesome. Yeah, I've done one myself in the past, and I know every now and then, every year around that, yeah, November, I see a whole bunch of friends going, I'm doing this. Anyone want to help and contribute? I'm like, oh, yes. So awesome. And so the dinner teas, and there's, I know at the moment there's the March drive as I'm recording this, and yeah, there's corporate partnerships and way that organizations can get involved. What can they do?
Yeah, look, everybody can get, and I always say your voice is the most powerful thing that you can do. So jump onto our social media, our Facebook page, and share a post and talk about it. It's probably the most powerful thing that anyone can do. From a corporate perspective and a business perspective, I like to always look at each individual business on its own. So whether, you know, I'm chatting to Muffin Break and I'm saying, hey, why don't we come up with a really cool pink Lamington, and you can donate a dollar from one of those, from the proceeds of every one of those during the month of August, or whether I do that with a different brand and they're like, how do we do this? You know, Active Truth do this really cool tights for Share the Dignity once a year during our Move for Dignity, and they donate $10 from every tights. You know, everything. If it works for the business, it works for the charity, and it will continue to progress as the business gets older and the charity gets older. So it's a win-win situation. It's not a cookie cutter thing when how your business can work.
Yeah, very cool. And you don't have to have a physical location. If you have a service-based business and it's all remote, you could say a percentage of every sale goes towards Share the Dignity or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very cool. So you mentioned a little bit about the social media, which is a great segue into, I want to ask you about the marketing side of things. So what's worked best for you, and have there been any methods that failed or didn't work as well?
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, our Facebook page is 211,000 people, which is quite a really big following for a charity, but it is the engagement. Like during the November and December, we will have a 3 million people reach. People love It's in the Bag. People love the authenticity of Share the Dignity, and where we will just tell really raw stories the way that it is, whether that's the sheer exhaustion of the amount of donations that everyone has been so kind to put together, or whether it's the story of this bag that we found that someone's put together, and just the joy that we see in that, or the story of a woman who's got that bag and what that is. I just think that authenticity as a page is one of the most important things to success. So if you ask me then, what is the biggest problem is if you try to take that away. If you try to get somebody in who you say, can you just help me look after that bit? I don't have enough hours in the day. You lose your voice. You lose that authenticity. And then you see people drop away, or you don't see growth. So I would just say nothing needs to be perfect. I love it when people go, oh, that's not how you spell that. I'm like, okay, cool, thumbs up, I'll change it. Do you know what I mean? If that's the worst thing I do today, cool.
Yeah, that's it. And so Facebook's a very big part of what you do. Do you do any other forms? Do you do any of the radio ads? Do you do the email marketing, TV ads, any of that?
We're a tight ass for a charity. We are. I'm very, anyone will tell you, I just, every time something costs something, I say, how many pads and tampons is that? Because I really believe that people work super hard to make a donation. So the dollar that we spend is really respected. In saying that, it does cost money to run a charity. So sometimes you do need to put money behind certain things to be able to get that reach, but we don't do a lot of that. Bunnings have beautifully done some ads for us for It's in the Bag, and last year was the first time ever that we produced our own It's in the Bag video that could be used on any social media or any TV that we'll be able to reuse again this year, which was super exciting. So LinkedIn, I think, from a corporate perspective, sharing our stories, Instagram, Twitter for us is really strong from the advocacy space. So when we were removing the tampon tax, or if we're talking a different language, each one of those channels has a different voice. And so you have to talk in a different way to each one of them. Like going to a party, whether you're sitting down talking to, you know, friends you've known forever, that for me is Facebook. If you're talking to your friend's children, then that's Instagram. For me, if you're talking to Twitter, then you're talking to, you know, a different group of people over there that really follow politics, that really follow that Twitter world. And for LinkedIn, for me, it is that corporate friends network of people who are there, not to hear about what my food looked like for breakfast or anything like that, but it's just about knowing what your market is on each one of them.
Yes. And so there's obviously the collaborations will be a massive part of getting the word out there. So like Bunnings, like everyone knows Bunnings. I mean, my local Bunnings is always so crowded, especially weekends when I'm there. And so every person that comes in sees it at the chemist, at Woolworths, all of that. Then it's really great to have those collaboration partners, isn't it?
Absolutely. And to be honest, we are the collaboration queens of the charity space, because there's so many, there's 5,500 volunteers. They all have families. They all have communities. I can't be in every place and everywhere. So they're also the voice of Share the Dignity. I also encourage them to do radio spots. I also encourage them to do media. If there's a media announcement, I'm like, off you go. We've given you the tools. You go and do it. You're the face of Share the Dignity, whether you're in Bundaberg or Brighton in Victoria. You are so important to us. So there's that. Then there's the 3,000 charities that we work with. We, you know, there are so many people that we just connect with. And then there's the corporates. The corporates connect all of those dots all together. So it's, you know, this massive, big moving dignity train, and there's a carriage for everyone, and sometimes they're all in all the different carriages at the same time.
Yeah, and we're saying just before we went on air as well that you've just been all over the place for International Women's Day and representing. So that's obviously, I mean, it's packed out room. So I don't know how many we're allowed to have in rooms at the moment, but, you know, packed out room of 500,000 people. You make an impact on every one of them. They then take that message home, and they mention it to their girlfriends, mention it at work. It's just, and like you said, there's still people who don't know about the charities. So just keep putting it out there, and the message will, yeah, keep spreading.
And you know, that at the end of the day is my job, to make sure everybody knows about us. And that is through our volunteers, that is through our corporates, that is through the connections and the voice that we have out there.
And have you had any kickback from anyone, any of the trolls or anyone who's kind of arguing what you do and saying it's not a good cause or anything like that?
Yeah, we get the why can't you help men thing, especially with It's in the Bag. But we just do what we do, and we do it as well as we can. And that's not saying that we haven't made, and I don't say we make mistakes. I say we just learn how to do things better. So, you know, none of us had ever worked in the charity space before, so we don't look at it like how does everybody else do it. We just look at it as how do we do it to the best of our knowledge, and how do we learn to do better. So I think that's been really refreshing for us in that space. But you know, there is at that time people who say, well, why aren't you doing a men's backpack? Well, we only deal with female charities that look after men and women and girls. So that would mean we'd have to go off course and do what we do. That's not what we do. But I have said for years, I would mentor anyone who wanted to start that. And I'm happy to help them, as I do with many others that are setting up charities. So
yeah, it's like a brother-sister charity, you know, Shake the Dignity for Men or something, or change the wording or whatever. But then you can partner up and, yeah, but it's, I think, yeah, you've got your niche. You know, you're doing it really well. Don't try and, like, water it down by trying to go outside that zone. Just really hone in, and you're doing an amazing job. So don't, yeah. you'll always have those naysayers.
At the end of the day, in every business, you just need to know and love who you are and be strong and committed to the purpose of your business or your charity.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's like one key action our listeners could take straight away after listening to this episode to start making a difference, no matter what time of year it is?
For Share the Dignity?
Yeah.
Jump on and like our Facebook page, follow us on our socials, and jump in and subscribe to the newsletter. Then the newsletter is something that just ends up in your, you don't have to go anywhere, it comes to you. And then you can't, you know, it happens every 28 days, like a period, comes once a month on the 28th of the month, Annie Flo, And it just keeps you up to date with what's going on. You know, we share the stories of the impact of the work that we do. And I think that's really important that you see a bit of everything.
Yeah, very cool. And is there a way that people can do like ongoing donations, or ongoing payments or anything like that?
It's on our website. So, you know, imagine if you just gave up $5 a month to help another woman in need. It's so easy to help.
Yeah, very cool. All right, get onto that, everybody, and check out the website. I'll put it all in the show notes as well. Now, Rochelle, I always ask my guests this. How do you take care of your health and wellness?
Oh, I love to start my day with a walk. I live up at Sandgate, so I live along the beach, and it just takes me away a million miles away. Put music in my ears and just, or go with a friend and just walk and talk for 10 Ks a day, I call it. So, and then just potter in my garden, be around the people that I love, have a long bath, love all of those things.
Love it. Yeah, I've been doing a bit of gardening a bit lately. I had to, about 2 hours worth actually, of pruning and weeding, and got a little veggie patch going. Tomatoes that I've now got the tomato dust on it, so bugs aren't getting to it. It's like, yes, we've got a red tomato and it's not got holes in it. That sounds amazing. And how?
That's where I am.
What, sorry?
If anyone ever wants to find me, I'm just pottering in my yard. Just, I love it. Takes you a million miles away.
Yeah, I don't listen to music or anything. I just pure silence. I was with my 4-year-old doing it the other day, but she's just doing her own thing and got a bit dirty. I'm like, yeah, whatever, just have fun. And actually, really cute story. She I saw on the preschool app today that they were doing with the Woolworths, the Discovery Garden, and how she was fully into it so much that when a friend said, hey, let's go and play, she goes, no, I'm going to stay here and keep gardening, I guess. Making a difference. And so how can people connect with you personally, Rochelle?
Yeah, if you head to LinkedIn, I'm more than happy to connect with anybody who's, absolutely, just head to LinkedIn.
Awesome. I love it. And it's been such a great chat and an honour that you've come on. But, yes, everyone, just look into the charity if you are learning about it for the first time. And if you have heard about it before, then hopefully you've learned a little bit more about how it all started up. But thank you, Rochelle. I've really enjoyed our chat today. It's been awesome.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via your podcast app at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. And if you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show, or book in a free 15-minute chat. I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.